I wish I could take you with me on a trip. Brother Darrell, I'd like to go to a prison this morning, and I'd like to go to a certain spot in the prison. I'd like to go to death row in that prison. On death row, we would find men and women in their jail cells, and they know that they face death. They know the crime that they've committed. They know they've been to trial. They know the evidence has been presented. They know the jury has pronounced them guilty. They know the judge has condemned them to death. And they know death is coming. Electric chair, lethal injection. And they may use the legal system to postpone it, put it off, delay it as long as they can. They may even seek a pardon. But they know that they stand condemned. Now, here's my message this morning. There are some people sitting in this room that are sitting on death row and don't know it. You've already been to trial and you don't know it. The evidence has been presented and you don't know it. You've been pronounced guilty and you don't know it. And the judge has condemned you to death, but you don't know it. And this morning, I wish I could just come to the people like that. And I don't know who you are. God does. And the Holy Spirit does. And I wish I could come and shake you, but I want the Holy Spirit to come and shake you and yell at you this morning and wake you up. You are condemned already. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. And so you sit on death row. You are under the condemnation of death. You may think you are sitting on a pew. And again, there are some young people in here. There are some old people in here. There are some people in between. It's the same way on death row. It doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how young you are. If you've committed the crime, you will pay for that crime. And the Bible says that if you have not yet believed in Jesus Christ, you are condemned already. Amen. Now, why are you condemned? Because of sin. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says in Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. It says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And so if you have not believed, you are on death row, you are condemned already. Preacher, what condemns me? There are three things that condemn you. The first thing that condemns you is your conscience. Your conscience. In Romans chapter 2, verse 12, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, their conscience also bearing witness against them. What causes a little child to fear dad and mom when they disobey? What causes someone who has never been to church, who has never read the Bible, who knows, in spite of that, that there is a right and there is a wrong, and wrong deserves to be punished? What is it that creates that? It is their conscience. The conscience in every man, every person says, there is a right, there is a wrong. If I do wrong, I deserved to be punished. The Bible says those without law, those that don't know the law, they do wrong. They have a conscience that bears witness against them. They have a conscience that condemns them. And so we are condemned by our conscience. But number two, the Bible also says, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. So not only if we don't have the law, our conscience condemns us, but if we know the law, then the law condemns us. Now, what's in John chapter 5, verse 45, Jesus was talking to the Jews, the people of God, and the people that had the law. And he said unto them, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. The Jews believed that they could get right with God by keeping the law. And yet Jesus, when Jesus came, he said, I'm not going to accuse you. The one that you're trusting in, Moses, the one that gave the law, he's going to condemn you because it's not keeping the law that makes you right with God. Nobody can do that.
Jesus said, the only way that you can avoid condemnation is believe in me. So we are condemned by the law. Say, what's the law? Well, I'll just make it simple. The law is the Ten Commandments. See, I thought the Ten Commandments. In fact, Brother Clyde told us last week that one of the Sunday school lessons says the Ten Commandments is only for the people, only for the Jews. It's only for the Old Testament. What a bunch of hogwash. He did what he should have done, just tore that lesson and shredded it and threw it away and taught something else. The Ten Commandments have not passed away. They are still good. In fact, Jesus expanded on them. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. God wants to be the only God in your life. He wants you to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if you're not doing that, you have broken the first of the Ten Commandments and you are condemned by the law. Thou shalt not make unto me any graven image. Thou shalt not bow thyself down nor serve them. Again, nobody here this morning is probably serving graven images, but have you bowed down to things of the world? Have you bowed down to wealth or fame or pleasure? If you have, you've broken the second commandment and you are condemned by the law. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And profanity is a widespread problem today. Sometimes I just want to get a pair of earplugs when I go out in public. I want to just go over and say, hey, quit talking about my God that way. But it doesn't have. We don't have to use four-letter words to be guilty of taking the Lord thy God, the name of the Lord thy God, in vain. When we use the name of God carelessly or lightly or with no reverence or respect, we've broken the third commandment and stand condemned under the law. Amen. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. God says, hey, I'll give you 6 days to work and to do everything you need to do. I want you to remember the Sabbath day. We celebrate on Sunday, the day we've set aside. How do you spend today? You're here today. You're here right now. That's a good start. But are you going to spend the day focused on God and the things of God? If we don't, we're guilty of breaking the fourth commandment and stand condemned by the law. Honor thy father and thy mother. Most of you say, I'm old, I don't have to worry about that anymore. Whoever said there was an age limit on honoring mom and dad? There's no age limit. One of the sins, outstanding sins of the day, is disobedience to parents. And again, we are condemned by the law because we've broken that fifth commandment. Thou shalt not kill. Your hands may never have shed blood. But Jesus said, if you hate your brother, you're guilty of murder. And we're under the law, the sixth commandment. We're condemned. We're guilty. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Again, probably everybody here is physically pure, but Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust after her, that's the same thing as committing adultery. We stand guilty, condemned under the law. Thou shalt not steal. Guilty under the law. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. How many of those? I look at myself. I ask myself the question, how many of those have I broken? I might say, hey, I've done pretty good. There's only one that I know I broke this week. And I'm not confessing. This is not a confession. This is an illustration. Amen. Got it? An illustration. Maybe there's only one that I say, hey, I've broken that one. Bible says, if I've broken one, I'm guilty of all. So I am condemned by the law. And then number three, the words of Jesus condemn us. He loves us like no other, but he said in John chapter 12, verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. We are condemned already. The sentence has been passed. We face death. So what do we do? What do we do? We do the same thing that somebody on death row does. We get us a good lawyer. Amen. I got a number this morning. Some of you young people probably don't know what this is. Kim, this is a phone. Kristen, this is a phone. You guys are probably too young to know what this is. Now, it's not complete. I left off all the wires because I could have more freedom. I got the number of a good lawyer. Some of you are condemned. You sit on death row. I'm going to call this lawyer and talk to him on your behalf. Amen. His number is J-E-R-3-3-3.
33. Jeremiah 33:3, in case you didn't catch it. Hello, I'd like to speak to the advocate, please. Yes, sir, it's good to talk to you. I have a case. I have somebody that's sitting on death row, and I wonder if you would represent him. In fact, there might be several here that are sitting on death row, and I wonder if we could retain your services to seek for them a pardon. Now, a pardon, a person is still guilty. Amen. A pardon, and we're guilty. But a pardon, the authority says, okay, I'm going to release you from the punishment of your sin. And so I'm wondering, Mr. Advocate, if we could retain you to seek a pardon on our behalf. Oh, you don't do pardons. Oh, okay. Then let me ask you this. If you don't do pardons, could we retain you to work out a plea bargain for us? A plea bargain is when your lawyer goes to the judge. If you're guilty, for example, of death, a plea bargain would be something less than that. Maybe life imprisonment instead of being put to death. So I wonder if we could retain you to work a plea bargain for us. Oh, you don't do plea bargains either. Oh, okay, I see. Well, I guess there's nothing you can do for us. Oh, what's that? Oh, you have something better than a pardon? You have something better than a plea bargain? Well, how will you do that? Oh, I see. Well, how much does it cost? Oh, I see. Well, what do we have to do to do that? Oh, I see. Yes, I will pass it on. So here's what the advocate said. He said, I don't do pardons. I don't do plea bargains. I've got something better. I'll get the judge to remove your guilt. I'll get the judge to wipe your record clean. I'll get the judge to declare that you've never sinned. I asked the advocate, I said, how are you going to do that? He says, I'm going to pay the price for you. Amen. You deserve death. I'll pay what you owe. I'll pay the death penalty for you. And then I ask him, how much does it cost? And I don't know who it was, whoever it was. Stay out of my preaching. I don't need your help. How much does it cost? It's free. It won't cost you anything. I said, well, what do we have to do to get it? And he said, all you have to do is believe on me. He that believeth not is condemned already, but he that believeth in him is not condemned. Let me introduce you to our advocate. Let me introduce you to our lawyer. His name is Jesus Christ. He has an inside track with the judge because the judge is his father. His father has pronounced us guilty, and we've been condemned. We've been condemned by our conscience. We've been condemned by the law. We've been condemned by the words of Jesus Christ. We are guilty, but our advocate says, I will pay the price that you owe. I will die for you. And again, we ask the question, well, what do we have to do? What do we have to do to obtain that freedom from the death penalty? What do we have to do to obtain that freedom from the condemnation that we are under? And it tells us there in those verses that we read, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, Amen. But have everlasting life. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Amen. Now again, I don't know who you are, but I believe in a crowd this size that there may be one, two, or even more than that, that set on death row. You literally set on death row this morning. Not that somebody's going to put you in an electric chair, not that somebody's going to inject you with a bunch of poison, but the Bible says that you are condemned because you have not believed in Jesus Christ. You're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. If you're honest with yourself, you know you're guilty. Your conscience tells you that you're guilty. Jesus paid what you owed. This morning, I want to encourage you. I wish I could come back and sit right down next to you. Take his payment.
Take what he did for you on Calvary. Trust him to pay for your sins. And he will pay for every one of them. Not just part of them, not just the biggest ones, not just the cardinal sins, the big sins, but every sin. My sin, not in part, but in whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Look, you're looking at somebody. I might have broken a couple of the Ten Commandments this week. Again, this is an illustration, not a confession. I might have broken a couple of the Ten Commandments this week, but I stand before you in God's sight, just like somebody that's never sinned, because I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. All my sins are under the blood. They've been washed away. I've been declared free of sin. When God looks at me, he doesn't see the commandments that I've broken. He sees the righteousness of my lawyer. He sees the righteousness of my advocate. He sees the righteousness of his son. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when he looks at me, he says, not guilty. Amen. Not guilty. Not guilty. Now he'll do the same thing for you. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what the sin that you've committed. Doesn't matter the kind of life you've lived up to this point. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you did yesterday. Doesn't matter what you did the day before. And I don't know what you did. I don't know about your sin. But I know about our Savior. And his grace is big enough, and his mercy is wide enough, and his love is deep enough that he will forgive every sin. If you come to Jesus. If you come. He that believeth not is condemned already. But he that believeth is not condemned. This morning, I invite you to come to Jesus Christ. As simple as I know how. It's not complicated. You're a sinner. There's a penalty for your sin. Jesus paid it. Just come and receive what he did for you on Calvary. Some people say, well, it's too easy. It's too easy. It must be something. I must have to do something. I must have to turn over a new leaf. I must have to get baptized. I must have to take communion. There's got to be something that I have to do. No. The Apostle Paul said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now again, the next verse says, after we get saved, we need to work. We're in his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. But that's after. That's after we receive Christ. You just come, just like you are. God loves you, and he'll wash away your sins, and dress you in Christ's righteousness, and you can stand before God just as if you've never sinned. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for that promise. Thank you for giving us an advocate like your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray for those that are here this morning. I don't know who they are, but Holy Spirit, you know who they are. And I pray right now you're convicting them. You're pricking their hearts. You're saying to them in that still small voice, hey, all that's true. You're a sinner. You're under the condemnation of God because of that sin. But Jesus died. He died for your sin. And if you trust him, if you believe on him, he'll save you. He will. He will. Listen to that voice this morning. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Come and receive Jesus Christ. Get your sins forgiven, washed away, purged, cleaned, however you want to say it. They'll be as far as the east is from the west, and buried in the deepest part of the sea. That's how far God says he'll remove our sins from us if we come to Jesus Christ. And then, Father, I pray for all the Christians here this morning. Help us to realize what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be able to sing both of those songs that we heard this morning. We have that because Jesus touched us, and we have that blessed assurance that he is ours. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it, Father, to build your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.